I grew up 80s. Our species, Homo sapiens, has existed on planet Earth for the past 300,000 years. Generation after generation of children, growing, playing, learning, trying to make sense of the world around them. Across those long millennia, change has happened at a snail's pace for Homo sapiens. A slow evolutionary grind, no more. Like Han Solo piloting the Falcon, humanity has suddenly hit hyperspace. Each new year brings a fresh revolution in technology, globalization, entertainment, and the way we socially interact. When so much now changes in just one year for the children of today's Britain, then how much has changed in one whole generation? Those who grew up pre-internet in the 1980s can genuinely state that life was very different then. We can investigate that through the objects, the pastimes, the treasures the 80s kids held dear. We can consider the shared cultural experience of childhood in the 80s, as the limitations of the time also served to bond us together. Although strangers one child of the 80s can say to another, I know what you watched, what you played with, what you read. I know you, because I experienced those things too. So like Bill and Ted in their phone booth, or Marty McFly in his DeLorean, let us take a most excellent adventure back in time to revisit 10 remarkable years, the greatest decade in the history of history, the 1980s. Turn to the right of the neon sign, and you will find a large freestanding cabinet. In this cabinet are a number of colourful toys and puzzles, including the Rubik's Cube, made by Ideal in 1980. During the height of the Rubik's Cube craze from 1980 to 83, an estimated 200 million cubes were sold. There are algorithmic solutions to solve a scrambled cube, and speed cubing competitions still take place to this day, where the world record is 3.47 seconds. Alongside it is the Rubik's Snake. After the phenomenal success of the cube, Hungarian inventor Erno Rubik followed it up with the snake and several other variations on the theme. The snake is not a solvable puzzle, but a tool to create shapes, for example, a dog. There is Simon, made by Milton Bradley, an electronic memory game where the coloured buttons flash and the player must remember an ever-increasing sequence. Designed by Ralph Baer, who also created the first video game console, the Magnavox Odyssey. There's also the Speak and Spell, made by Texas Instruments. The iconic Speak and Spell with membrane buttons came to the UK in 1980 and was an instant hit with both parents and children. An educational tool, but also a cool electronic game. It even made an appearance in the hit movie E.T. Turn to the right, towards the corner of the room, where the books and magazines cabinets are. In these two cabinets are arrayed a variety of comics, magazines and books from the 1980s. The Beano, 2000 AD, Storyteller magazine, which is fondly remembered for presenting classic fairy tale stories, aided by a talking book cassette, which is alongside it. Jackie for Girls, Just 17, which was achieving incredible UK sales of 500,000 a week. Smash Hits magazine. All of these successful magazines were British made and helped give readers common ground and a shared cultural identity. For books, it was an exciting time in literature for children. The country was moving away from twee and cosy tales like Rupert Bear and the Famous Five and towards something rather spikier and more eccentric. In this cabinet, we have books by Douglas Adams and Terry Pratchett, The Restaurant at the End of the Universe and The Colour of Magic, which brought a Pythonesque British sense of humour to the previously po-faced genres of sci-fi and fantasy. There's a copy of The Secret Diary of Adrian Mole, published in 1982, where Sue Townsend truthfully and hilariously presented the worldview of a 13-year-old British boy. There's The Warlock of Firetop Mountain, When the Wind Blows by Raymond Briggs, and Christine by Stephen King. And lastly, many 80s kids will remember the standard school hymn book, Come and Praise, which included such sing-along classics as Water of Life and Give Me Oil in My Lamp. Turn around and head towards the centre of the room, where a large cabinet has the space and fantasy section. In this cabinet, packed together, are two shelffuls of space and fantasy toys. Big Track, the futuristic space rover, is there. It could be programmed to drive independently and fire its laser with a sequence of up to 16 commands. Big Track cost £39.95 at the time, £150 in today's money, it was an expensive and aspirational toy for children. There's also Space Lego, Playmo Space, and Space Aliens by Britons. They were toy soldier specialists and they created a space theme lined with a backstory of Star Guards and aliens. But perhaps most famously in the space toys are Transformers. And you can see Optimus Prime, the red truck, and his arch enemy, Megatron. 80s era toys are now known as Gen 1 Transformers, and the franchise, of course, continues to this day. There's Zelda from Terrorhawks, alongside RoboCop and Ed-209. And there are also action figures from the Tron toy line. Hoping to follow in this huge success of the Star Wars toy line, Tomy released a group of Tron action figures in 1982. Despite ingeniously being cast in translucent plastic, they weren't big sellers and the toy line ended prematurely. And towering behind them is one of the Zoids, Zoidzilla, which looks like a futuristic mechanical Godzilla toy. In the fantasy section, dominating the area is the green, skeletal-like Castle Grayskull from He-Man, Master of the Universe. The 1980s boom in fantasy films, packed with muscular heroes like Arnold Schwarzenegger, and a symbiotic relationship with a cartoon series, helped drive the phenomenal success of He-Man. It peaked with toy sales of 400 million in 1985, exceeding even Barbie. Turn towards the far wall, where two rows of movie posters are hung. Along this wall are displayed a collection of movie posters. They are large, 30 inches by 40 inches across, and each in a colourful frame. If you were a kid in 80s Britain, then the movies you were excited to see at your local Odeon or ABC cinema all originated from just one place, Hollywood. The top 20 hits at the UK box office were all US productions. Pessimism was shown the door in the 80s, and an anything is possible optimism would carry through many movies of the decade, and some of the best are represented here, including Raiders of the Lost Ark. The iconic image is the most famous work of poster artist Richard Amsel and captures an amazing likeness of Harrison Ford on a golden yellow poster. Alongside it is the Goonies movie poster. This one is illustrated by artist Drew Struzan and shows the cast of the movie dangling from each other's legs whilst the top Goonie holds onto a stalactite. There's Trading Places, starring Eddie Murphy and Dan Aykroyd. They look in a bathroom mirror and both can see the other in the various costumes, swapping their lives. And maybe the most famous movie poster of the 80s, E.T. John Alvin's poster echoes Michelangelo's creation of Adam and crucially preserves the mystery of what E.T. looked like, as E.T.'s finger and Elliot's finger touch. There's also Ghostbusters. The famous No Ghosts logo was designed by artist Michael Gross, and it was so well liked that the production upgraded it to be the main promotional image of the whole movie. We have Footloose and Dirty Dancing alongside each other. Dirty Dancing was a sleeper hit, and the soundtrack sold over 300 million copies in Britain alone. It included the single I've Had the Time of My Life. A few horror films also, The Lost Boys and A Nightmare on Elm Street, were both very popular. And Nightmare on Elm Street features amazing poster art by British artist Graham Humphrey, brilliantly capturing the sleeping image of Nancy menaced by Freddy Krueger's razor glove. And we have The Terminator with Arnold Schwarzenegger and The Princess Bride. Head for the wall on the entrance side of the gallery, where you will find three rows of album covers. This wall contains a multitude of album covers, each framed in a colourful frame. There's Duran Duran, a Rio album, The Beastie Boys, Licensed to Ill, True by Spandau Ballet. This was a very nice cover by Glaswegian artist David Band, who visualised the dove and lots of 80s squiggles to adorn the cover. True, the dreamy ballad, spent 4 weeks at number one in the spring of 1983. There's Cyndi Lauper alongside Falco, and Kate Bush with the Hounds of Love album, considered by many fans and music critics to be Kate Bush's masterpiece. Queen, A Kind of Magic, and Hysteria by Def Leppard were British big hair rockers. Also, When Will I Be Famous by Bross. This exaltation to the brazen pursuit of fame by boy band Bross now seems eerily prophetic. There's Touch by the Eurythmics, with Annie Lennox dramatically with her orange crew cut and black mask. Cruel Summer by Bananarama, Zenyatta Mondatta by The Police, and a really fantastic album cover by Grace Jones, which a powerful and iconic image achieved in pre-Photoshop era, posing Grace Jones with the support of boxes and then splicing the negatives together in a collage to remove the boxes so that it looks that she is suspending herself just from one leg. There's Breakdance 2, Electric Boogaloo, Actually by the Pet Shop Boys, and So by Peter Gabriel. Dire Straits are represented with their Money for Nothing album, which shows glowing headbands and wristbands on the cover. And there's David Bowie's Let's Dance, his most mainstream album in a pale. Control by Janet Jackson, I Wanna Dance With Somebody, Whitney Houston, George Michael, Faith, King for a Day by the Thompson Twins, and This Is the Story by the Proclaimers, which shows the Scottish brothers looking at each other eye to eye through their thick glasses. Dance Craze, a two-tone record represented by a black and white cover, and Big Country Steel Town. Towards the middle of the gallery space are two smaller cabinets with video games and electronic equipment in. This cabinet features computer and video games from the 1980s, including the ZX Spectrum, a small microcomputer about the size of a paperback and well known for having squidgy buttons. It sold over 5 million units and inspired a whole generation of British kids to try their hands at coding. And alongside the computer are many of the games, including Daley Thompson's Decathlon, Antitac, Jet Set Willy and Hungry Horace, which are represented just as cassette-sized tapes. One of the video game systems was the Atari VCS, and that comes with a walnut dashboard and iconic joysticks with the red fire button. This also has games, Space Invaders, Asteroids and Pac-Man. There's also the computer game Elite, which was a standout title for the BBC microcomputer. Elite presented a 3D universe, seemingly without walls and without end. There are a number of smaller games. These are handheld titles from Game & Watch, produced by Nintendo from 1980 to 1989. They are quite small and colourful and they fold open. And then there's a Tommytronic 3D. Hoping to ride the hype of the movie Tron, the Tommytronic was the world's first 3D gaming hardware, an early precursor to the Oculus Rift and VR headsets of today. Against the wall, next to the album covers, there is another cabinet containing the boombox and the Walkman. Here we find the Sony Walkman and a Casio boombox. The boombox is covered with 131 individual buttons and dials, including its own keyboard. This is a large silver 8 kilogram example of 80s excess. Very different to Alexa and the minimalist speaker dock systems of today. And then we have the Sony Walkman, which originally came out at the start of the decade in a lovely blue colour with orange headphones. It was the original personal stereo of the 80s and so definitive that the multitude of rival products were often nicknamed Walkmans too. As the first personal tech, it prepared the market for the smartphones of today. In the corner, diagonally opposite from the entrance door, is a red rack, a video shop recreation. Here we have a mocked-up video shop from the 1980s, with red cubicles, each containing a big box VHS rental tape. At the start of the decade, video recorders retailed for around £750. That's £3,000 inflation-adjusted in today's money. This was over a month's wages for the average person and led most British households to favour renting, the high street chain Radio Rentals had over 500 stores at their peak. Movies on videotape were also prohibitively expensive to own, with each film around £80. Again, rental became the norm, and video libraries sprang up in every town. They were typically independent traders and far removed from the corporate slickness of blockbusters, which wouldn't arrive in the UK till the 1990s. On the shelves here, we can see some horror video nasties along the top with The Evil Dead, The Thing, The Fly, and American Werewolf in London. A bit lower down, we can see some of the fantasy and action films from the decade, such as Highlander, Predator, Rocky, Excalibur. And then towards the bottom, we have some of the 80s comedies, Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure, The Naked Gun, and films like Flashdance, Desperately Seeking Susan, and Ferris Bueller's Day Off that appealed to a younger audience. Pass through the wide archway into the next gallery where the exhibition continues, and then turn to your left into the corner. Here you will find another cabinet with Going Out and Makeup. This cabinet contains a number of items related to going out, including a Puma school bag with a satchel-like large school bag with the Puma logo. There are also a digital watch, the Casio Data Bank, and a Swatch watch. The Swatch has a white strap, a blue face with red stripes across it, and it looks very much of the time. 80s youths didn't have smartphones, and in many regards, the wristwatch filled that role. They were a status symbol. There are also some trainers here. Dunlop Green Flash. Sneaker fashion, trainers to us, arrived from the US in the 1980s and swiftly became the single most important clothing item for playground credibility. High tops were what everyone wanted, but Green Flash is what many of us got. And next to the Green Flash are a pair of Adidas high top trainers. They're white with blue stripes and red piping on them. They were basketball boots, as worn by Michael Jordan and rapped about by Run DMC. They were very much an aspirational fashion statement for British youth and made the plimsolls of the previous decade look hopelessly outdated. There are also some things you'd need for your body when going out, such as Insignia deodorant for men and Body Shop white musk bath salts and perfume oil for the girls. And currency. There's a baby Woody, which is a little ceramic pig that you receive free if you're a NatWest Young Saver and made a deposit of £5. And some currency from the 80s. A pound note with the green face of the Queen on it, and coinage along with a phone card. Proceed to the far wall of this smaller gallery. Here you will find fashion mannequins, BMX bikes, and neon light rods. On open display here are two mannequins that we lovingly call Wayne and Tracy. The female mannequin is dressed in red jelly shoes, neon yellow leg warmers, blue leggings, a rah-rah skirt, which is like a dancewear tutu, and then a red batwing jumper with shoulder pads and geometric stripes. Wayne, the male mannequin, is wearing a purple shell suit jacket, an LS polo shirt, stonewashed jeans, and a pair of cowboy boots. Turn to your right, and on the wall, you will find two rows of 7-inch single covers representing the top 10 singles from each year of the decade. For young people in the 80s, the singles chart was very significant, and thanks to Top of the Pops, which aired every Thursday evening to an audience of 15 million, the youth were well informed and knowledgeable of each week's movers and shakers. High street shops such as Woolworths and Our Price also devoted considerable display space to the singles chart, with records clearly arrayed in chart order. On the wall here are 10 of the top 10 singles from each year of the 1980s. They're presented with snazzy Top of the Pop style graphics around them. The singles include Rick Astley's Never Gonna Give You Up, Frankie Goes to Hollywood, Two Tribes, Dexy's Midnight Runners, Come On Eileen, and Culture Club's Karma Chameleon.